King, you have summoned me. What is it?
Take this here vibranium to the brother Miles as a gift from the people of Wakanda. Go and bring him the vibranium mic. He will use it wisely.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's absolutely nothing. What did you do before you were named a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have there? Ask Professor Maurice Miles Martinez, MC Brother Miles, and he'll tell you like it really is. You can shackle the hands of black people, you can jail the bodies of black people, but you cannot shackle or jail the minds of black people. Rise up, black man, black woman, and reach to go back to Africa.
My father was a Garveyite, thus Marcus Garvey can be thought of as my grandfather. But when you say, I've read in Dr. Ben's book, or I've read in Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's book, or I've read in Professor Maurice Miles Martinez's book, they say, don't speak that information in here. Brothers and sisters, speak your truth to the world.
Brother Miles, the black man's truth is here.
The real Wakandas of Africa podcast.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political, economic, and cultural time of day. Brother Miles, the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Free at last and proud to be black. One day Miles will be free at last.
Hey, Brother Miles, that was really great, man. I'm impressed.
Welcome to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast, the place where black history, hip-hop, and spoken word come together. I'm your host, Maurice Miles Martinez, also known as MC Brother Miles. At the end of each podcast, we have an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself. If you haven't heard it yet, and you like the hip-hop and poetry aspect of this podcast, check out the New Year's Eve 3rd Annual Real Wakandas of Africa concert. Now, last week, we discussed a 4,000-year-old iron smelting site among the Igbo in Nigeria. Now, we will speak of the Igbo nation in the future, but you might be wondering about this iron smelting and the Ingwenya iron mine in Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, which also has the claim of having the longest reigning monarch in the world in Swaziland or Eswatini. The Ingwenya iron mine, as you know, is 42,000 years old, and obviously that's a lot older than the 4,000-year-old iron smelting among the Igbo. But it is thought that the iron from the Ingwenya iron mine was used primarily for decorative purposes. Still, there's no iron mine 42,000 years old anywhere else in the world. But the difference, of course, is that in Nigeria's Igbo nation, the iron was being extracted, melted, and formed into implements such as knives, hoes, and weapons. Now this week, I'm going to be discussing the topic of why there have been no crowns found in Egypt and what this has to do with the Egyptians' race. Now the first thing that comes to mind is, what about King Tut? There's a famous gold mask which has flat sides. In some of the statues found in Ramses II also, you see this famous shape. And this famous crown that people know of and associate with Egypt, but it wasn't a crown. This was not the crown typically worn by King Tut or any of the kings or queens of Egypt. It's often referred to as the Nemes, and this was made out of cloth, likely. It had stripes extended down the back and had two large flaps called lappets that hung over the ears. And I say likely made out of cloth because there were none of these actually found in Egypt. So far, I've seen one small data point that a piece of cloth was found that resembles this head covering. So now, we come to the actual crowns that are depicted on the tombs and in hieroglyphics, and none of those were found. So where are they, and what are they? There are multiple crowns, but I'm going to deal with four main crowns that are depicted in ancient Egypt or Kemet. These crowns deal with the political history of Egypt. There were two Egypts, Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. Upper Egypt is in the south of Egypt, and Lower Egypt is in the north. This is because the Nile River flows from the south to the north. And remember, it flows some 4,000 plus miles from Central East Africa, Uganda, to the north. So the people migrated northward, up the Nile. Even though the Nile water is moving downwards in elevation, and the first settlement in Egypt is in the south, or Upper Egypt. If you're getting confused about Upper Egypt being in the south of Egypt, the upper portion refers to higher elevations in the south of Egypt, and as the water of the Nile flows northward, it reaches sea level into the Mediterranean Sea, which is lower in elevation. Thus, Lower Egypt is in the north, and Upper Egypt is in the south. So each of these regions has an affiliated crown that I remind you, not one of these has ever been found. So we have the Hejit, which is the white crown of Upper Egypt. People have described this crown rather coarsely in the present as being in the shape of an upside-down bowling pin, although Egyptologists don't refer to it as this. Then you have the Deshret, which is the red crown of Lower Egypt, and this is a bowl-shaped crown with a flat top, with a piece that sticks up straight into the air from the back, and often a protruding, curled piece that comes upwards and forwards from the piece that sticks up in the back. Now, when Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt, Kemet, united under one pharaoh or king, the crowns became combined into what is called the Peshent, Greek name, or Sahemti crown, Egyptian, or name from Kemet. In other words, both crowns were worn as a combined crown. Now, there's one other crown worth mentioning here, and this was worn when Egypt was at war during the invasion from outsiders in the 18th and 19th dynasties, and this is called the Hepresh. This crown is shown often as blue in color and has circular curls on the outside. More about this momentarily. So if these crowns were so prevalent, how come none were found? I mean, not one of these was found? Yet they are on the hieroglyphics? Ramses II is wearing a crown in his statues? What is going on here? We have found many different objects. Where are the crowns? Some have said that they were rare. Others have said that they were made out of cloth and just deteriorated. But we have found other rare Egyptian objects that were made out of cloth. In fact, we found papyrus, which is made out of paper that was preserved from ancient Egypt. Moreover, there's something found called the Tarkhan dress. It's a 5,000-year-old dress, which was named for the Tarkhan burial site that sits to the south of the city of Cairo. So far, about half of Egyptian pharaohs' tombs have been uncovered, yet not one crown was found. Again, what is happening here? Moreover, if there was a crown, why were the crowns of Upper and Lower Egypt designed in the way that they were? I mean, whose hairstyle would they fit? We can actually find answers by looking at the hairstyles of other African nations, and when we do this, we support the argument that these crowns in ancient Egypt were not actually crowns, but decorative hairstyles of African hair. In other words, African hairstyles were the crowns themselves with some added decorations to the hair. The crown of Upper Egypt, the Hejit, has been shown in the hairstyles of Africans that were combed upwards, where the top was formed into a small ball so that the entire hairstyle resembles, forgive the comparison, to an upside-down bowling pin in shape not accepted by archaeologists as a description. We have photos of these from anthropologists. The crown of Lower Egypt, the Deshret, could also only be shaped with African hair. For example, the piece in the back that sticks straight up in the air. But the crown that is the most revealing of an African hairstyle is the Hepresh. This is the blue crown. It literally has the curls of African hair on the outside of it, and it has been found in the hairstyles elsewhere in Central East Africa, to the south of Egypt. Rwandan men and unmarried women from the Amasunzu Nation have their hair styled into crests that resemble the Egyptian crown of Hepresh. Now, of course, Eurocentric historians of Egypt have said that the Hepresh crown is an example of rivets, of jewels, of rings, or gaps in the reeds of a crown. But then, why weren't the crowns found? Where are the Hepresh crowns with rivets, or jewels, or rings? We have the Amasunzu nation actually cutting their hair into the shape of Egyptian crowns in modern times. Moreover, outside of wearing their hair in crown shapes, many Egyptians wore braids that also came down and or dreadlocks. So if there were any crowns, they were hairstyles that may have had some beads or jewels or cloth added to them. And if they were covered in cloth, then the crowns were made from tightly curled African hair and then wrapped because of the shape of them. This is further evidence of the black character of the Egyptians, along with the table of races that was presented by Chaikanta Diop. The hairstyles were the crowns. Go ahead and wear your crown from Kemet if you have one. As always, we conclude the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast with an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself, MC Brother Miles. If Egyptian crowns were externally worn crowns, why were none found in any part of town? Not in Cairo, not in Saqqara, not in any part of Egyptian ground. Why is it? Because they were cloth or rare? In reality, it's because they were made from black Africans' hair. For if they were just metal, wood, deteriorated cloth that was Osirian blessed, the crowns would be around to historically confess. Moreover, there would be no 5,000-year-old Tokharan dress to test this notion with the effervescence of Egyptian lessons manifest. Egyptian crowns were black hairstyle sensations that brought us adoration and can still be seen in Rwanda's Amasunzu nation, keeping the location of Egypt's Hepresh crown hairstyles and facialization among the black people of African creation. For black people moved from the South Uganda to the North in the commission migration. To call the Egyptians anything other than black is a miscalculation incantation. So wear your confirmation crown in elation of Kemet illustration, the land of the blacks demarcation nation. Thank you for listening to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast. When you have a chance, please pick a copy of my books up from Amazon, The Real Wakandas of Africa, Dr. John Henry Clark vs. Herman Cain, The Great Wall of Africa, The Empire of Benin's 10,000-mile-long wall, The Real Vibranium of Africa, and Akhenaten's Dreams by Maurice Miles Martinez. You can also subscribe to this podcast and become a regular sustaining member by clicking the link in the podcast. You can donate from $1 to $10 per month, and this makes an enormous difference in supporting this podcast and my research. Thank you again for listening to me, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. I will speak with you next week.